Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And today, we sit down with a previous band we've had on the show. So I started off with the drummer back in 2021. I've written my notes, Sam, we've upgraded. I don't know how you feel about that statement. We've upgraded to the vocalist of Raised by Owls. I'm sat down with Sam. How are you doing, bud?
I'm good, thank you. I love that statement. I love that you've upgraded. Lee, maybe not. Maybe he'd be like, you know, Funny story, we got a review once, and instead of referring to us as Raised by Owls, we got referred to as Sam and the Lads. And Lee was like, "Oh, right, so the four of us, the other four of us are just not even mentioned, are we?" And he was like, "Yeah." So no, I'm very happy to be introduced like that, and I'm very well, thank you. Good to be on the show.
Awesome stuff. I will just two precursors. One I've already told you about. It's my note off, so I'm having a beer. That's the first thing. Second thing, I'm struggling getting over hay fever. So yesterday was awful. Today it's not too bad. So if I cut my mic out, it's because I'm sniffling and I'm trying to be a professional podcaster.
Yeah.
Which I'm definitely not. Oh, go on. Sorry, mate.
No. Fortunately, I'm not suffering this week, but yeah, I sometimes, like, my mum gets it quite bad and I sometimes suffer with it. But I'm just like, I just find it muggy this week. Mm-hmm. It's like really like, I can't stop sweating.
Yeah, it's rank, isn't it? That weird kind of mid-heat where it's like, it's not like hot enough to be like, cool, I'm going to whip my t-shirt off or whatever, or like go sunbathing. But it's also like, it's not cold enough to be like, oh, I put a jacket on. It's that weird kind of in-between heat. It's something that, again, we're going to get off the weather in a minute, I promise, but it's that thing, right? When people, like British people, specifically British people, they go on holiday and go, oh, it's a different kind of heat. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Also, this is such a British start to the podcast as well. Like, we're just talking about the weather. Like, you didn't even initiate the weather conversation. It just bubbled out of me. You were on about, like, you know, hay fever, and I was like, oh, it's muggy, isn't it? It's a bit hot. It's a bit too hot.
Yeah. I love it. So we're here to chat about your brand new album, Sir, which is Volume 3, The Satirical Verses. It's fucking brilliant. Normally I ask people, how's your kind of, your feeling before the release? Obviously it's out there in the wild now. How's the reaction been to it?
It's been really cool. I mean, yeah, it's very different to the other two. We've actually had a bit more of a plan with this one. So the first one was kind of born out of just bedroom recordings. Like the first album, we actually never really knew what we were doing and we didn't know where it would go. And we actually just put it online to be like, hey, we made this thing. And like, if someone likes it, cool. The second one was a bit more focused in the fact that we were like, okay, so we've got out there, we played live, we put this album out, but we still didn't know what we were doing. We kind of didn't really have a campaign. So this is like the first album we've done that's felt like it's had like an album build-up campaign. And this album's been like a year and a half in the making. And then that's included with all the video preps and then the campaign, which has gone on for like 5 months or so. And it's awesome. It's like such a relief because I was actually getting a bit of imposter syndrome before it came out, like a bit like, what if everyone hates it? Like, what if it's just, I think it's really cool and nobody likes it? Do you know what I mean? But luckily, like, we've had loads of nice comments saying that it's a step in the right direction, they're liking it. And we're getting quite a few hits on the stats. I know that doesn't really matter as much these days, you know, on the social, like Spotify and all of that. But like, that's not a metric that we'd actually measured before, if you see what I mean. Used to kind of just put them out and go, okay, you'd turn up to a show and then that would be your measurement of like, all right, okay, people like this. Whereas now, like, we've got these online metrics that like tell us, oh yeah, people are listening to this, which is really cool. And I'm just chuffed a bit.
That's the thing as well. So it's actually kind of a nice bit of synergy because it was 7 years ago today that I first started YouTube content. And obviously this whole kind of crazy content journey that's brought me to having this conversation with your good self. And it's kind of that thing of being like, looking back, and we kind of alluded to this prior to start recording, looking back at kind of old things and kind of, I re-listened to the interview I'd done with Lee back in 2021, again, not to cover too much ground and stuff. And it's like, fucking hell, I've come on a lot as a podcaster. And it's kind of like, what I love about this band, right, is there is just this kind of inherently Britishness about it. Because, again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. but also like it has got this kind of mass appeal in the sense of the videos, which is kind of half the thing, as well as the music, obviously, as well. Like in the world of TikTok and things like that, like in the right kind of world, in a just world, Raised by Owls will fucking blow up because the videos are fucking hilarious. And
Thank you.
also, you know, the TikTok collaboration. But the point I'm trying to get to is the fact I listened to this interview I done with Lee, and he was very, very complimentary about your good self, right? He described you as the creative kind of force for the band and kind of like the visionary, if you like. So, and I turned around and I slagged him off at the start of the podcast. So,
Yeah, well,
apologies to Lee.
so was I. I was like, yeah, I like it when I'm the center of the attention. I don't talk about Lee, but yeah, he's actually been quite lovely about me. No, that is very nice of him to say. But I think he plays a huge he's playing himself down a little bit there because he's a huge part of it. Because like without him, the videos wouldn't exist to the because he films them and edits them, and he's actually gone back in. So I don't know if he'd done it by the time you guys were talking, but he's gone back into education to do film now.
Oh,
So
amazing.
that's kind of something that's kind of stemmed from there. But no, it's really nice, and like thank you for the kind words about the videos and stuff. Like you say, it's a weird one because we started as a metal band, and that's kind of, but we didn't really know what we were doing, and then we started doing the videos and didn't really know what we were doing, and now we're kind of doing these two things where we kind of still don't know what we're doing with either of them, but they kind of coexist in the same sphere, and they kind of feed into each other. But it's weird because you get some people, like I've had people say to me, like, I love the videos. Oh, the videos are so funny. But I don't like the music. And it's kind of like, well, you know what I mean? Like really blunt like that, which is fine. But I'm like, all right, yeah, fair enough. But like that's the thing. Like someone might like the music and go, yeah, but I hate your comedy. Like I find it cringe. All that. So we've got two incredibly subjective things that we've kind of smashed together. And if you like both of them, that's amazing.
You
And
know what?
if you like just one of them, awesome.
It's the thing with the videos is the fact like it's conversations that I've had with my friends. You know how you're not Mel, Sam. You know how you're not Mel. Like we've had this conversation. I've overheard those conversations. But it's some of the again I've covered this in the previous one. But some of them are just genius. And again, coming up from your brain. So I was told. You know what it's like to be the sound engineer for Slipknot in 1999. It's like no, who the fuck thinks of that as an idea, as a concept in a video, and thinks. But it works. It makes perfect sense. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's really, really
No, thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's, do you know what? It's really nice because I've had these ideas for years, and now that there's like an avenue that I can kind of like release them into the
cool.
world rather than them living in my head. One thing I thought even when I got into metal when I was young is like when I started being in bands and stuff. When we started trying to like arranging a band practice and stuff, like trying to get like five people in a room for one night with adult responsibilities, it's kind of like, oh my God. And one thing that's just stuck with me the whole time is like, how did Slipknot do that? Like in the 90s without the internet, like just dial up phones. How did they get nine people in a room together, let alone become one of the biggest bands in the world? And it's things like that. And that's like weirdly, it's like a lot of it comes to me just as I'm about to nod off, which is really annoying. So I'm like going to sleep at night, and then I'll be like, what would a Slipknot sound engineer be like? Do you imagine like if you didn't know who they were in that case and you just had to sound, do you know what I mean? And then I'll be like, okay, I have to
You know
sit up
what?
and then write it in my phone, like, okay, write that down.
That you know what? There's a perfect encapsulation. I'm sure you've seen the meme where like there's two people lying in bed and the girl's like, I wonder what he's thinking about. He's probably thinking about other girls. And there's just you thinking about what the video is, but he's not off. I love it.
But yeah, no, and I think it's cool that people resonate with it because it is some a lot of it I do try and go about it from a point that like a shared experience that we've all done. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like two metalheads spotting each other in a supermarket with the same metal
Exactly.
shirt on and stuff. Like I remember being in HMV years and years ago when I was like 14 and seeing an older dude in like a metal shirt and just being like, do you know what I mean? Giving him the nod, like we're the same kind of thing. So yeah, just trying to find those idiosyncrasies and things that bind us together as metalheads and just poking a bit of fun at it because metal is inherently silly as well, like it's heart as well, and I think a lot of the fans appreciate that, and a lot of people have a good humor about that. So but no, honestly, like I feel like I'm gushing a little bit now, but thank
No,
you for the kind words. It's
you know
really
what?
cool.
I do exactly the same. As soon as I get on to a with an artist I like, I'm like, oh, you're fucking great. Like, and I just have to like again. But the point I always make is I'm not a trained professional. I'm not even a professional. Like, I'm just merely a man with a microphone who's allowed to do it. So it is kind of one of those things. Some bands are kind of like, okay, you're very like, and I interviewed Andy from Therapy, and I basically spent the entire 20 minutes just going, I fucking love your band. Like, which I think he appreciated, but at the same time, he's like, you're gonna ask me a question in a minute. I'm like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, I'll keep telling you how great you are. No, which is no, it is it's honestly lovely, and I think almost, yeah, like I say, it's still a bit surreal to me because it's like our band, we're just a group of lads from the same little rural town. Kind of just started this as a bit of a laugh in someone's bedroom. So the fact that people, you know, come up to us and are really like engaged with it's almost a bit alien. Like I'm a bit like, really?
Yeah,
You
for
know what I mean?
sure.
Like, yeah, so.
So that brings me kind of nicely onto kind of something I like to talk about is that kind of the early years of you growing up and things. And with that, and I had to be very careful how I worded this in my notes, I can't not talk about your mum, right?
No, of course, of course.
Because she has become almost part of the band at this point. And I wanted to kind of ask, how is she with that? It's just a concept. And sort of because I saw a petition on Facebook or a lot of Facebook traction and things about the Bloodstock Festival, which you guys are playing. They want your mum to be the what do they call it? Like the
Compare
person
or
exactly for the
yeah.
band, which I think would be fucking great. So kind of how was your kind of early sort of growing up in terms of music and obviously what do your parents kind of think of all this craziness? Because yeah, she seems like a good sport.
Oh, she's amazing sport. Like I love her so much. She's so awesome. And like she just doesn't even question it. Like the stuff that we get her to say, she's not even like, who's this person or what's this or what does it mean? She's just like, all right, yeah, I'll say this. And like you say, she's kind of because of that, she's become the most popular member of the of Raised by Owls by a mile. Like I actually we played a show in Nottingham once and somebody came up to me at the merch desk and was really like they were like, is your mum here? And I was like, oh no, she's not. She doesn't come to the shows. And they were genuinely gutted. Like genuinely almost like, what have I bought a ticket for kind of thing? Like, what do you mean she's not here? Like she's the main bin. She like I'm like, no, we're a band. So yeah, she's an excellent sport and yeah, she just gets on with it and like I think people really have taken to her, which is lovely. Because you know what the internet can be like. I was kind of a bit the first time we put a video with her on. She I mean she doesn't care. I care more than she cares. She doesn't care. If someone was starting being horrible or there was threads of people being mean about her online, she'd find that funny. I whereas I'd be a bit more like, oh no, don't. That's my mom. But yeah, she's great and she really doesn't care. Like she love. Oh no, she does care in the
No,
sense
for
of
sure.
like she doesn't care like about any like you know about saying anything in terms of like. The stuff that we get to say in the scripts and stuff, but she's quite flattered by the response. And I showed her the Bloodstock thing, and she was just a bit like, "That's mad," because she knows what Bloodstock is. I mean, I've shown her what Bloodstock is and all of that, so she gets that. So yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome, and she's it kind of forces my hand. I have to write a lot more stuff with her in mind now. I'm
Because
like.
again, it's just that kind of, and I think this is why the kind of videos work on because we'll talk the music is a separate entity to the videos, but I think, like you said, they work tandemly together because it's kind of like a lot of influence and creators and things like that, they want to be relevant to this, right? And having your mum say, I've got an album list here. What's this? Is this a corpse grind? Like that is related because
Yeah.
we've all done that. I remember being a teenager writing my list out and there was like No Tune to Bleed by Suicide Silence on it. Mum was like, you know what? I'm not buying that for you.
Yeah, it's like
It's relatable
looking at the
thing.
stuff. Yeah, of course. So when I started getting into metal as well, so like a bit of going back to your previous question about kind of growing up and stuff. So it's always just been me and my mum. Like my mum was a single mum and I just it's just been me and her for since I was like two. So we've got a really strong like bond, if you see what I mean. Like my mum's like one of my best friends, and I know that's like the most lame thing a death metal singer
No,
would say.
not at all, not at all, mate, not at all.
But she's such a legend, and me and her get on like really, really well. But when I was a teenager, first getting into all of this stuff, that she was just like, "What is this?" Do you know what I mean? Like, it was Slipknot posters on the wall, and the screaming and stuff, and I think I did her head in with it a bit. And that's where, like you say, a lot of the sketches come from. That it comes from knowing what my mum, like, just shaking her head and despairing at this. And again, I think the funny thing is like probably thinking it was a phase, and most metalheads will know it just isn't. It just, you become a bit, it's one of those genres of music where you become a bit of a lifer. But yeah, growing up, not a huge musical background, to be honest. My mum liked music, but not like extensively. You know how like a lot of people, when you watch interviews, they're like, "Oh, my dad showed me the Beatles when I was four," or anything. I never had anything like that. I just started to kind of naturally get into stuff through friendship groups, probably. So the first thing, actually, funnily enough, my first kind of thing into rock music, and I think my first turning point of wanting to be in a band was watching School of Rock, the film
I mean, that's a
with Jack
great
Black.
film.
It's a
Great
cracking
film.
film, and I was just like, "Yeah, I want to do that. That looks awesome." And I just thought that film was ace. Yeah, other than that, my mum used to be a dancer when she was younger. So
Oh,
she was
man.
like, that was her job. So she was like a touring, like, stage dancer or whatever.
Yeah, amazing.
So she
Nice.
used to do, like variety shows and all that kind of jazz. So yeah, no,
Nice.
she had a cool life.
That's something that I find really interesting as well. You're mentioning School of Rock. Kind of, when was School of Rock released? I don't know if you know that's where here. I'm imagining about 2003. In fact, I might pull up, right? Because the reason why I mention it,
2003.
because actually, if I were to go
Yeah. No, yeah, I think you've nailed it. I think I'm pretty sure it's 2003.
2003, look at that. I never
Nailed it.
nailed it. I'm gonna do a Joe Rogan. Bring that up, Jamie. Like, I don't watch Joe Rogan. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point I'm trying to make is to that, like, the early 2000s was so kind of good but kind of weird, because you'd have, like, I mean, I would like play video games, right? And I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast. Like, you had Guitar Hero, that was a thing where, like, people could pretend to play guitar. You wouldn't get that nowadays. That's just something that wouldn't exist. You had, like, the Need for Speed soundtracks on, like, video games. How I Got Into
Tony
Skin,
Hawk.
yeah, Tony Hawk. Do you know what I mean? And it was kind of a weird thing, and like, I don't, if I was a teenager now, I don't know how I'd get into rock and metal unless I was kind of explicitly shown it. It's a weird little subgenre of thing that you kind of fall into. At least now I feel like it is. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah, you don't have
I
the
will.
exposure in that respect.
I find it fascinating, and spoke about this with a few people, but I think it's the fact that all of our mediums were. Like there was only a couple of channels that you could ever consume anything through. So you, when we're in the early 2000s, like, so I'm like in early 30s, right? So I was in the early 2000s, they were like my formative years. I was just kind of just becoming a, started off at like 8 or 9, and then like mid 2000s were teenage years. But the main form of mediums was like TV, like radio, and the internet was just kind of starting, but it wasn't like slick enough like it is now to really kind of be intuitive like that. So you kind of like that. I think that's how bands like, Slipknot and System and all of those kind of guys became so huge, because it was like you had Kerrang, you had Scuzz, you had these radio stations, you had like other area magazines and stuff. A lot of people still read like Kerrang and Metal Hammer loads and stuff like that. Well, I mean, they still exist in different formats now, but whereas now, like, it's very rare that people watch terrestrial TV. Everyone streams. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of everything's diluted. So yeah, how would you? I guess TikTok. But I mean, look at Sleep Token. Is Sleep Token? I personally like Lee's actually a huge fan of Sleep Token, but it's not like my cup of tea really. But I don't know where that boom came from. I've never really looked into it, but I would assume it's probably like a TikTok thing, maybe.
Well, this
I
is the
don't know if
thing. Again,
not in.
I'm not a big Sleep Token fan. In fact, I'm not really a fan of them at all. And people do kind of look at me and go, "What do you mean?" I'm like, I just don't get it. But it's kind of inspiring to see a band who 2 or 3 years ago was doing, smaller numbers, and now they literally sold out Wembley in like 10 fucking minutes. And
Yeah.
it's kind of
Oh, I
like
can appreciate it. Like,
there's
even
kind
though I
of
don't.
hope for the rest of us,
Yeah,
or at least you
yeah.
hope so.
Yeah, it's kind of like I appreciate it, but it's just like not for me kind of thing. Like I've listened to a few songs, and it's not really my thing. But I think the image is cool, and I think they're obviously doing something amazing. I just, And again, I think the algorithms are super tuned into what you like now. So it's hard to see what other people get into because your algorithm is not like the greater, you know, it's not the broader thing that other people are seeing. It's tailored to you. So yeah, well, it's very, very weird one. I feel like
Absolutely.
you could
So,
have a podcast just about that topic.
you know what?
I
I've got the tinfoil hat just below me. I'm going to stick it on me. There's deep down on the
think
conspiracies on this one.
yeah.
So,
Yeah, go down the rabbit hole.
absolutely. I wanted to talk about Bloodstock Festival because it's a festival which you guys are pretty synonymous with. And I know that bands play, you know, countless festivals throughout the summer and things like that. But I wanted to kind of talk about Bloodstock specifically because you have gone from the Metal to the Masses stage, which is essentially the New Blood stage, where you guys obviously won Metal to the Masses in your local area and then got put on the New Blood, went to Sophie, and this year you are back on the main stage. And I kind of wanted to know, how does that feel to have that kind of push and that rise? Because it is a right, you know, if you're talking from a football team, you've gone from like League One, Championship, Premier League. Do you know what I mean? Like in three
Yeah.
seasons or there or thereabouts.
Oh man, it's terrifying. Like
For
it's
sure.
so cool. Like I'm but like playing the main stage to me is such a bucket list thing that it's almost a bit overwhelming. Like but it's fun. It's awesome. And like, you know, can't thank Bloodstock enough for I mean, well, shout out to Bloodstock anyway in terms of how they nurture underground bands. Like no other
Absolutely.
like festival in the UK has that like attention on the underground, you know, having a whole stage dedicated it to it, the battle that kind of battle of the bands concept that then takes you there, and then the fact that those bands that get on the New Blood, you know, they continue to watch their careers and like bring them back and stuff. Like yeah, I mean another one off the, I think there's been a couple that've gone like New Blood, Sophie, main stage, and like where else would you get that? It's just it's amazing. So the fact, so like hats off to them because without, you know, it's them that are kind of nurturing these bands. But it's super surreal, dude. Like I remember when we won in 2017
For
the to
sure.
play the New Blood. I just couldn't believe it then. I couldn't believe that we were playing the New Blood, let alone thinking that we'd go on to the Sophie and then the main stage, you know. So it's super cool. But yeah, I'm definitely like, as the months get closer, I'm like, oh God. Like, but you know, I'll be fine.
Yeah, the thing is, I'll say I've seen you guys a couple of times and you always kill it live. So I know that you're gonna
Thank
just
you.
bring your, if you don't bring your A game, you're definitely gonna bring your poker face. It will never show. It will never show on your faces. That's one thing I have learned about seeing bands when I interview them like on this podcast and they're all like, you know, very open and fragile and emotional, and like, yeah, we'll just let this, and they get on stage and I'm like, you know, tearing up. I'm like, oh, okay, they're like, it's like
Yeah.
hi going on, like, do you know what I mean?
Well, what's lovely about being like a comedic band as well is that if something does go wrong, we can like point and laugh at it, and
Yeah, for sure.
that doesn't take away from the show too much. So we're very fortunate for that. That happens a lot where something will just not go to plan, and we can just go, oh yeah, and
Yeah.
then people are like, oh yeah, that's funny.
You know
So.
what? I feel like I'm going to go off on a tangent. So I saw Bloodstock. This was probably 2018 or 2019. So I can't remember which year it was. Might even be 17. Anyway, there was a power metal band that was playing on the main stage. And I'm famously not into power metal. So I was stood at the Lemmy bar just chilling. And, essentially, they had some sort of tech issue, and essentially, they kicked, I think it was their bass player, out to the front of the stage where they try and sort out their tech issues and got him to like tell jokes. And it was honestly, I felt so unbelievably awful for that man. I was just like, what poor fucker. If he doesn't go back to his band and tell him to fuck off and he quits there, can you imagine? Do you know what I mean? But I think Raised by Owls, you could get away with it if you sent, you know, yourself or Lee or Toby up and go, go on, tell some fucking jokes while we sort this out. Like, I feel like you could get away with that because it's part of the stick, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, like, and if we were very transparent about it, like where we were like, right, the drum skin's broke kind of thing, like,
Yeah.
you know, so
Yeah.
I'm just gonna talk to you for a bit and then like yeah, like tell some jokes. I think that'd resonate. But I think when your whole shtick is being uber serious
Yeah.
or having this kind of theme, yeah, it really shatters the illusion, I guess. Poor guy. I mean, were the jokes any good or not?
No, it was, we kind of, me and my friend sort of looked around like, should we go to the Jaeger? Yeah, we'll go to the Jaeger tent. Let's do it. Let's go to the
Oh,
Jaeger tent. Just go.
bless.
Poor buggers.
Yeah, that'll be keeping him up at night as well now, you
Yeah,
know.
no,
Like that's gonna be a haunting memory. Or maybe not, maybe he was like thought he'd smashed it.
Well, maybe so, maybe so. I wanted to talk as well about your experience at Why Not Festival, because I think this is super interesting. Because a band who famously have booked the likes of Royal Blood, Jamie T, Raised by Owls, question mark.
Every year as well,
Every
like
year. How is that experience playing that festival? Because it's something that I've not been to. So again, not in a band, it must be difficult playing to, into a metal crowd who potentially aren't your audience straight away. And then you play like a support slot and you're like, oh, they might not know the support band. But playing to a whole audience that is not
of indie.
into metal and you're an extreme metal band is like,
I don't know what it is. I do not know what it is. It worked like they're just into it. Straight away, I don't know if it's because we're like the novelty act of the weekend. Do you know what I mean? Like we're the kind of one-off extreme metal band of the entire weekend. But there's pits. Do you know, like they just get into it and they just find it funny and they just. I thought the same. I was like, this is just going to go down like a sack of shit. This is, But we've played like frostier metal gigs than Why Not.
Oh,
So playing to
really?
a bunch of indie kids is. Because metal as well, like this, another thing going back to the comedy side of metal is that there's some people in metal who hate the mixture of like having a laugh with metal. They think it shouldn't exist, kind of thing, and which is opinion and all of that. But there's some crowds or there's definitely some gigs we've played where we've had to win the audience over, and that's almost like quite fun in itself. I actually quite like. It sounds a bit sick, but I actually quite like it when a crowd hates us,
Yeah,
like
no,
because
that's
it's
fair.
quite funny watching people be like deadpan on their face, and just kind of if you can win them over, that's really cool. But if you don't, it's still quite amusing. But why not? Yeah, it's weird, man. We just get invited back to the same slot every year, like some weird Vegas residency for an extreme metal band. We don't like. There was one year they forgot to email us, right? They've just forgot to say like, oh hey, like do you want the offer? And they just put the poster out and tagged us, and we were like, oh, I guess we're playing then. Like, do you know what I mean? Like we had no idea, and they were like, yeah, Raised by Owls are on the giant squid stage. We were like, all right, cool.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's a great crowd, and it's great fun. And yeah, as long as they keep having us back, we'll keep playing. I mean, there was one year. It's a funny anecdote. There was one year where they had really bad weather. And logistics went a bit haywire, and they couldn't open the arena in time. But the bands just had to start playing, so we essentially played to the security guards. And the security guards, bless them, were like really good sports. Like they started running around in a circle pit, and like, do you know what I mean? Like just to kind of and like cheered us on and stuff. And then like right at the end of the set, like a flood of people came in.
Oh, amazing.
But that was cool. That was like a
Absolutely.
glorified practice.
Well, I was going to say that's kind of like the sort of I imagine standing on stage playing the songs to the security guards, and then it's like that scene in Braveheart where they all run over the hill, like
Yeah,
just the
that's
crowd
kind of what
just
it
in
looked.
form, like.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like from coming into the tent. But yeah, why not's a lot of fun. And yeah, I keep thinking that bubble will burst as well. I keep thinking like, oh, are they gonna surely like they're gonna get bored of us soon, like. And again, the new album is like, I think the thing that won them over was the kind of older material was about British celebrities, whereas we've kind of moved on to the metal side of things now. Like they're just not going to get the references, so we'll have to be a bit inventive, I think.
No, I reckon they'll have you back. I reckon they'll have you back.
Oh yeah, we'll keep playing as long as they keep having us. But whether, hopefully people keep coming and moshing on a Sunday morning.
Oh, they'll love it. Love it.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk as well about the co-headliner run, which you're doing with Red Method at the end of the month. This podcast will go up before then. I looked on social media and there's about 100 tickets left for London. So if this podcast is gone out and there's no, you're too fucking late. Sorry
Yeah.
about that. Just do the thing earlier. How are you feeling ahead of the shows? Nervous, excited? How and co-headliner. That's is always a cool thing because Red Method are great. You guys are great. It seems like a perfect fit.
Yeah, no, I think it was they're not a band that we've been out with before as well, so we really wanted to we were talking to Chris, who's kind of part of who's our manager essentially. Which sounds again
Sounds like an
from
adult thing,
I
doesn't
know, like we started this in Alex's bedroom, and I
Yeah.
still don't know what I'm doing, but we've got a manager. Yeah, Chris, but we've known Chris for years. Chris is lovely, and he's a great lad. So Chris suggested Red Method early on, and I was well up for it because like we'd not played with them But they're great, like you say, a great band and a great size. And I think the two of us, we have a crossover audience, but both sides might also not, like some of their
Sure.
fans might not necessarily know about us, and vice versa. So we thought it'd be a nice co-headliner thing to do. In terms of how I'm feeling, I'm really excited. A little bit like apprehensive because it's going to be the first time we take these songs out, and just like it's always interesting to see how they go down live. Like which ones you really get a feel for, like which ones gel, and which ones maybe not so much, and all of that. A little bit nervous as well because like as now we're getting. I'm just a nervous person, man. Like I just
Sure.
so I just like the rest of the guys. We've been doing it live for about 7 or 8 years now, maybe a little less live. And the rest of them have kind of got into a rhythm where they're just like, okay, it's just a show. They can just get into it. I still get quite like nervous. I think it's maybe because I've got to speak to the crowd as well. So there's like a bit more like of that weighs on me a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I think just performing anyway, I'm always just before we go on, I'm always a bit like jittery. And then as soon as I'm on, it's like a switch goes in my head and it's like the person who goes on stage isn't me, kind of thing, and then I come off and I'm like, I don't know who that guy is. But yeah, I'm very, very excited, and to hear that there's like we're getting low ticket warnings on some of the shows is awesome. So fingers crossed that we get an awesome turnout and that people have fun. The main thing is that people have fun. Like that's what we want to kind of, people to walk away from a show and think, wow, that was good fun. So.
Absolutely.
Fingers crossed.
I've got a couple of final questions for you, Sam. And I'll be honest, this is potentially where the bottom of the barrel falls out of the podcast in some ways.
Hello.
Is there, I try and keep it all kind of like essentially what I'm banking on a lot of the time is the PR people are listening to like maybe 15 minutes. And then after that, they kind of go, yeah, sounds all right. And then it all just falls to. So, my kind of first question on this little run is where is the weirdest or the strangest place you've ever played a show? And it doesn't have to be, a Why Not festival and it's just the security guards. It can be somewhere where you've looked around at the rest of your bandmates and gone, who the fuck booked us for here then? What the fuck are we doing here? We've had people say they've played, literally played in like Hollister, like it's in the clothing shop. We've had people like bakeries and like sex dungeons, all these kind of weird, crazy things. Is there anything that's in your career so far you've been like, oh, this is a weird experience?
No, do you know what? Like the kind of playing in a shop or playing somewhere like that, I wish we had that because I feel like we're the exact type of band that should have that kind of anecdote. We nearly got booked for our local town fair or something,
For sure.
and then we never did it, so that's just not an anecdote. So, yeah, like what a boring answer to your question. Well, have you got any crazy shows? We nearly played this. Oh, did you play it? No. We played a village hall for someone's birthday, which was just obviously not equipped
Amazing.
really for a thing. We've never done a wedding yet, but we've been asked a couple of times. I'm trying to think if there's a weird show. Oh, we basically played in someone's living room once.
Ah, there
That
we
so
go.
that
Now,
that
we're
was
moving.
that that was that was that was weird. And there was one of those gates, like when there's like construct like when you go to Sainsbury's and basically they're doing some work outside and they've got those big steel kind of fences.
Yeah, I
There was
know.
one of those on the stage, and there was one of those behind it. And the guy was just like, "Oh, you just hang your merch up there if you want." I was like, "All right, cool." I'm like, "Where did you get this from? Like, is it did you?" He was like, "Oh, I just paid some kids like a tenner to steal it for me." But it was like so hospitable as well. So it was like someone's living room, and they'd like cooked us this like paella, and
Amazing.
it was lovely. It was like proper death metal underground, but paella upstairs, and very
Perfect.
hospitable. And can I get you anything? It's like yeah. So that might be the weirdest. Village hall, living room, and then we've just played a couple of shows where we're just a sore thumb. So like we played a black metal show once, and we were like
Sure.
early on when it was all the British celebrity stuff, and I'm there on stage like, who likes the Chuckle Brothers? And like the crowd is just like it's like crickets. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Death
no.
metal kids are famously into their comedy metal.
Yeah. So
No
yeah.
chuckle so seriously.
And then with like because we have a sample pad, then we play the Chuckle Vision theme song through the PA, like blasting out. And they're just there's no movement in the crowd. There's just like just like, "Yeah, come on." So that was, again, quite funny. But,
I love that. I don't know why, but it kind of I kind of would like at some point in your career to do like a teenager's birthday.
Yeah.
I think it's because I'm thinking of the Lamb of God redneck video where they like turn up a kid's like, I think she's there like a young kid, but like, do you know what I mean? I just think that's a nice kind of cool thing. In fact, steal it for a music video. Like, it's been long enough, but I think people have forgotten about that video. You could just do it for the next one. So
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Oh, who a Lamb of God?
Yeah,
Like, do you know what I mean? I've never
literally.
heard of him. Yeah,
I
there's a
know you're
couple
not Mel.
of yeah. There's a couple of places I'd like to play. I'd like to play on a boat. I know that there's the Thekla in Bristol, which is like a boat venue, but I'd like to actually play on a boat that's like moving around. I know that Metal Hammer used to have was it the Golden Gods Awards? And I know they said the Golden Globes, which is a completely different thing.
Play
And
that
they,
before.
yeah, we'd go down like a sack of shit. But yeah, a moving boat like somewhere would be cool. You mentioned a sex dungeon. That
Yeah,
sounds interesting.
that was a European band. I can't remember which band it was, to be fair, but yeah.
And like an actual sex dungeon, or just underneath one of those
See,
shops where you trade in video games?
I think it. See, yeah, it's sponsored by them. No, they're not.
Well, apparently, so we're going off on a mad tangent here, but apparently the owner of, I call it CEX, but apparently the owner is insisting it's Sex. The shop should be called Sex.
I mean, that makes sense.
And they have a festival. Did you know that they had a festival, or they have a festival
I didn't know that. That's mad.
for their staff? Like, I don't know if it's still a thing, but basically all the staff in the UK, they go to this festival that's put on called the Sex Festival. I'm not making this up.
That's fucking mental.
And there was one time at Bloodstock, you know, like when you're in the campsite at night and everyone's quite drunk. And I was waiting for the Portaloos. And I can't remember exactly what they said. But this guy was talking to me, and he worked at CEX, and he was like, "Oh, it's called Sex, and there's the festival. Have you ever heard of it?" And I had heard of it. Like, weirdly enough, my friend's band had played it. Really random. But so we were talking about the sex festival, as in the video game shop. And this woman comes over, and she was like, "Oh, I've been to that." And I knew like immediately what she meant compared to what the bloke meant. She goes to the toilet, and then she comes back, and he's still talking about the CEX festival. And she just starts going, "Oh, did you go on that? Did you get like tied up in that swing?" And he was like, "No." Like, what, where was that? And she was like, "Oh yeah, like they strap you in," and like she's going on about this like full-on sex festival, and he's just like, "Well, no, I just sell video games," kind of thing. And it was like I could see it happening in slow motion, and I just let it happen. I was just letting the confusion go back and forth and watching it with glee. So I'd like to play both a CEX festival and the sex festival. that's my
You know
that's
what?
my goal.
I am going to Google sex festival, but I'm definitely going to have to delete my internet history after. Otherwise, the missus is going to come on here after me and go, "The fuck were you looking at?" It's like, no, it's CEX, honest. Like,
Yeah, I'm just trading in some games. I've just got some DVDs I need to get rid of.
absolutely. So this, you know what? I've actually been waiting for a band like yourselves to get this question out to you because I feel like you've got a fucking stunning answer, and I just can feel it, right?
Oh,
So,
pressure, man.
no pressure, but like, I think you'll get it, right? So, because again, inherently British question, right?
Okay.
When Spotify or Amazon or one of these big corporate companies buys this podcast off me,
Okay.
rather than reinvest it back in the podcast, I've done it for 4 years. I'm gonna say, fuck that. I'm gonna throw it a massive festival, right? Because I love festivals. Raised
Yeah.
by Owls are invited to play the festival along with all the other bands who've been on the podcast. Does that mean you have to play twice? I'm not sure. Maybe we'll figure the logistics out. But there is no financial limitations on what we can have for the rider because Amazon or Spotify or whoever are paying for it, right? But
Okay.
also, we're having it in the biggest possible field we can get our hands on. So there's no space limitations and there's no logistical like cash flow issues. What would you like to have on the rider of the festival? You could have something for your own kind of personal use or for the band personal use, something communal for the rest of the festival. I'll give you a couple of examples to kind of I suppose I'd loosen you up. That's a weird word. Loop you up. No. Yeah, so we've had people say, so Josh from Cattle Decapitation said to me that he wants a whole laundry service, which I thought was a pretty good, decent shout.
Yeah, that's a good chat.
Andy from Therapy said he just wants like clean socks, clean underwear, just a fresh set of like clothing, which I'm like, fair, I can live with that. Matt from August Burns Red said to me he wants a full monster truck rally setup, which I thought you couldn't be more American if you tried, but
Yeah.
big fan of that. And a lot of people say like masseuses, massages. Weirdly, like I had a Norwegian band on called oh, what the hell are they called? I forgot the name from the top of my head. But essentially, they said to me, I want a specific brand of Norwegian energy drink. Like you can get really weirdly specific. Someone did say to me, I want Taylor Swift. And I had to
Okay.
dive in on that. And I was like, in what capacity? Like,
Yeah.
do we just
Is
want
she
her, like,
playing or?
yeah, is she just sort of wandering around? He's like, yeah, just sort of wandering around being Taylor Swift. And I was like, all righty.
Yeah, I'll say no more.
Yeah, get some star credibility in there. What would you like to have?
So it's a metal festival, right? Is it a death metal festival or is it just like a kind of overall metal festival?
It's an overall festival of every band that's been on this show. So
Okay.
we've had independent rappers on, we've had you guys on, we've had pop bands, punk bands, like indie
Okay.
bands. We've had like kind of the whole split spectrum, I'm trying to say the word then, of different bands. So yeah, it's kind of a mixed genre bill.
And it's like you've got no, like space is not an option.
Space is not don't worry about how big it is or how small it is. You can have whatever size thing you want, and there is no financial limitation.
Okay. I'd want you to create the set of Coronation Street. We have, and that, there's like a thing called the Coronation Street Experience where you just go around the cobbles and go into the Rovers and stuff. Just that. Just imagine that in the middle of a festival. Imagine one thing I used to do with my mates all the time is I used to get really drunk and they
That's so good.
we'd go on the fun fair after like getting really drunk. Not the fun fair, what is it? The fun house
Yeah,
where
the fun house,
you've
yeah.
got the spinning wheel that you get stuck in and then you go up the thing and then everyone gets stuck in the slide and stuff. Imagine getting smashed and then going to Coronation Street. Just in the middle of a festival.
Is it the Rovers, the pub? I've
Yeah,
watched
yeah.
Coronation Street about twice in my life. I'm just trying to. And Roy, is he the landlord? Is that right?
No, he's got a
He's the
cob
cap,
place.
isn't he?
Also, if you've got unlimited budget, maybe like there's actually some of the cast there.
Oh, amazing.
And then just to make it more obscure, it's not open to the public, it's just backstage for me. So only I can go in. That's
Love
the
that.
so the yeah, you have to make sure that it's only raised by owls that can go in there. And funnily enough, I'd bring my mom because she loves Corrie. I used to watch it because by association, but I don't watch it anymore. But the other four members of Raised by Owls dislike it. So it's like completely pointless and wasted on them, which also I find quite funny.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Other than that, I mean, I've just had to put our rider together for so Chris, our manager, was like, "Oh, you need like a rider spec for when people book you." I'm like, I don't know what I want, man. Just like I'm just quite happy when there's like, if someone's got some water, I'm like, oh, lovely. Like that's thought really thoughtful. Do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, the Coronation Street experience, definitely.
Amazing. That's such a great answer. I actually, you know what? I'm just thinking about if this festival ever happened, of all the different bands from different nationalities we have, I don't know how much of a crossover appeal with like the Americans that Coronation Street has. So just walk up and just see, why is there a random street here? What's the Rovers? Like,
So I
that
what would
was so
be
offensive, that accent, by the way.
okay, what I think would be even better is you've got the replica of Coronation Street, you've got all the houses, you've got the pub, you've got the cafe, you've got everything. That is the backstage area. So that is like the dressing rooms. So like Ken Barlow's house is the dressing room for say August Burns Red. And Ken Barlow, the actor, has to be in there. So they don't, they're like, who's this guy? He's just sat in there. And I think the proviso would be that you tell the guy who plays Ken Barlow that August Burns Red are super fans. So he's like, oh, hey, guys.
and
vice
Amazing.
versa, and like the two of them are just confused. And you do that in every house on the thing. Every band has their own house or room, and
Yeah.
there's an actor from Coronation Street in there who has to awkwardly sit with them.
I now completely understand when you are like the chaos in the group. I completely understand that. I'm pretty certain Lisa knows. Like, yeah, it sounds like the driving force, but also he's the chaotic one. I completely see it. Like, you just make chaos happen.
So some ideas I'll go to Lee with, and he'll just be sat at his computer like, I'm like, I've got this idea, I really want, like, just, and it's kind of just how that's gone. And he'll be like, how am I supposed to make that? And I'm like, it'll be fine, come on, let's just do it. Yeah, so that's what I'd request. And
Yeah.
I don't think it's too much to ask at all.
I love it. I love it. I've got one final question for you, mate, which is a question I've asked every single artist who's been on the show, including your drummer Lee. And it's what is the best thing about being in your band for you personally?
Probably we touched on it a little bit earlier, but probably like people resonate with what we do. I mean, as an outlet, I love it. I love it in terms of creating this, these, I love the video side of things. Don't get me wrong, I love being in a band. I love performing live. There's this huge adrenaline buzz from performing live, but I also like creating these, the weird content and stuff, and the fact that people enjoy that, and the I like making people laugh, man.
Yeah.
Like straight up, just and like at school, I was always like the class clown. Well, not in a malicious way, but I was just
Oh, for sure.
every parent's evening, my mum would drive away from the school, like being like, "You need to pull your socks up," because it'd just be like he's too concerned with making the guy next to him laugh rather than doing his work, kind of thing. So that's it. Like I just like making people laugh, giving people, if you can spread a bit of joy in the world. It sounds so hippie, man. I almost feel
It's
sick
not.
saying it.
No,
But
but it's
like,
not. It's yeah. It is. It's
without
perfect.
the sappy bullshit,
Yeah.
it's like it's genuinely very nice to make people happy. So I like doing that.
Well, I was going to say, without kind of rehashing what you've just said it and kind of making it more dark, but it's the world can be fucking horrible and the world
Oh,
can be
yeah.
pretty fucking shit. So if you bring a little bit of a positivity in the world, that's not a bad thing, I have to say. Is there anything you need to plug, promote, anything you want to say at the end of the podcast to round things off?
So yeah, Volume 3, The Satirical Verses, is out now. You can stream it everywhere: Spotify, Apple Music. It's for sale on Bandcamp. We've also got some merch on there. Again, we're playing some album release shows at the end of the month: Friday the 24th of May at Rock City in Nottingham, Saturday the 25th of May, Star and Garter in Manchester, and Sunday the 26th of May at 229 in London. And that's a bank holiday as well, so there's
I
no
was going to
work on
say it's a
Monday.
bank
There's
holiday. Get the beers in.
No work on Monday. And then after that, we've got festival season again, playing Why Not, playing Bloodstock, playing Mangata Festival in Nottingham, which is going to be really cool. And then it's not announced yet, but we've got a tour, or like a group of weekenders back to back in
Oh,
September,
amazing.
October. And we're playing a load of places that we've been asked to play so many times by people, some that we've not been to since pre-COVID, and others that we've never been to. So should be fun.
Amazing. Amazing. What I will say is if you're coming anywhere near the east of Anglia, beers are on me, my friend. And
Awesome.
thank you so much for your time. I hope the like I say the release show is fantastic. I hope the kind of album does everything it should do because it's wicked. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your evening and thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure.
No, thank you, Matt. Enjoy your evening.
Awesome. Speak soon, dude.